Hi, this is Glenn Elliott, lead pastor of Pantano Christian Church. Welcome to our podcast. You're listening to a message from our series about prayer called, Can You Hear Me Now? Prayer is not complicated. It's an ongoing conversation with God. Prayer naturally flows from a focus and a conscious connection with God that gets us and keeps us on His agenda and daily dependence on Him. In this series, we'll learn from Jesus about how to pray by exploring the Lord's Prayer, which is actually a model prayer. If you'd like to join us for services or learn more about PCC, check us out online at pccwired.org.
Yeah, you're just lucky you called me what I did when you did. Yeah, I was in my purse getting the credit card, and I saw your name on caller ID, so I picked up. No, I've been on the couch all day. I was getting Dad his birthday present on the catalog thing. I was going to get him a copy of the Lord's Prayer, but it's kind of handsome. It's not too girly. Yeah. Hey, my phone's beeping at me because I'm losing battery stuff. Can you call me in the morning? All right, Mom. I love you too. Bye.
This is the party to whom you are speaking. If you are calling between the hours of 8:30 and 9:30 Eastern Standard Time on Monday, 10 to 11:15 on Tuesday, 8:30 and 9:15 on Wednesday, 1 and 2:30 on Thursday, or 12 to 1:45 on Friday, please hang up and try your call again at another time.
I have no idea what you just said.
If you would like this call to continue in English, say English now.
English.
You said Spanish. Is this correct?
Oh, are you kidding me?
You said Swahili. Is this correct?
No.
You said English. Is this correct?
Yes.
I'm sorry.
Yes.
I did not understand your response. Please say yes or no.
Yes.
I'm sorry. I did not understand your response.
Oh.
Please say yes or no.
Yes.
I'm sorry. I did not understand your response. Please say yes or no.
Yes.
Thank you. If you are calling to place a new order, please say new now.
New.
If you are calling about an existing order, say existing now.
It's a new order.
If you are calling to speak to an agent, say agent now.
New.
You said new. Is this correct? Please say yes or no.
Yes.
I'm sorry. I did not understand your response. Please say yes or no.
Yes.
Thank you. For your new order, I'll now transfer you to orders. Our offices are now closed. Please call back during normal business hours. Goodbye.
I want my daddy.
Oh, how true, huh? The digital maze. We're in our second a message of a series called Can You Hear Me Now? We're looking at how we can pray, or how we can learn to pray better. And let's begin with prayer. Father, you are like a father that we've never, ever even possibly known on earth. You are so much more than what we can even comprehend. You are good. You are faithful. You desire a relationship with us. You will never, ever let us down. And so, God, because your name is holy and because you are so good, we want you to influence our lives. We want you to use us to influence others. We want you to become so real in our lives and in this world. In Jesus' name, Amen. Found this picture this week. So I figure if that little boy and the dog can pray, then I'm not hopeless. And maybe we all can learn how to pray. Most of us, if we're honest, find prayer at times to be difficult. Sometimes, if we're honest, it's boring. Doesn't seem to make any difference. Sometimes we pray, we wonder if anybody's really listening. We wonder if we're ever going to really experience God. We have those times. There are times we experience inconsistency. Inconsistency in praying, and sometimes it's inconsistency in really connecting with God when we're praying. And we need help to learn how to pray and pray well. And you know, the disciples experienced the very same thing. In Luke chapter 11, we're told that Jesus had finished praying, and the disciples, after he finished praying, said, "Teach us how to pray." We're just like the disciples. We need to ask the Lord, "Teach us how to pray." Now, a lot of detail isn't given in that story, but I suspect that, first of all, that wasn't the first time the disciples had seen Jesus pray. But apparently in this particular time, I think they not only saw him praying, but I think they were able to overhear at least part of his prayer. And they saw in Jesus' prayer this amazing experience where they really saw Jesus connecting with his Father. And I'm sure that Jesus was animated and his words were very real and personal. And they, after seeing that, they said, "Teach us how to pray." And so Jesus gave what we call the Lord's Prayer. Many of us, you know, at some point in our life have memorized it. Many churches recite that Lord's Prayer every Sunday. Some sing the Lord's Prayer every Sunday. But the Lord's Prayer wasn't primarily given to us by Jesus just to recite and say as it is, but it was really a teaching tool for us. It was, I like to call it the model prayer. In the Lord's Prayer are all the key components, all the key ideas about how to pray and how to pray well. And so over the next 2 weeks, we're going to look at the Lord's Prayer. I'll look at the first half this week, and Pastor Tim will look at the second half next week. Now, what we've been doing through this series is using the idea of calling as kind of our metaphor for prayer, because when we call, when we talk to some, you know, when we make a call, we want to talk to somebody. We want to have a communication with somebody. We want to interact, and that's what prayer is. It's that connection, that conversation with God. In the sketch you just saw, the poor lady just gets caught in this maze of digital questions and responses, and when it's all said and done, all she really wants to do is what? Talk to a real person. That's what all of us want. We want to talk to a real person. More than that, we want to talk in a very real way with God. That's what we're after. Now, with cell phones and with some of our phones at home, we have this wonderful little tool called Caller ID. And if the call is not blocked, we get to see who's calling us. So if you've had difficulty with your mother-in-law lately and she calls, you can just ignore it. Or if you've just broken up with a boyfriend or a girlfriend and they call, you can ignore it. Or if the IRS calls, you can try to ignore it. But the reason why caller ID is so helpful is really we want to know who is calling us. It's all about the who when we're involved in conversations. That's what we want to focus on. Imagine if God were to text you. Now, I know some of you don't text, but I will tell you that, and it tends to be those of us who are older, if you ever want to talk to your grandkids, learn to text. I call my son all the time. I never get a response. I text him. I get an immediate response. Okay, yeah, that's just the way it is. Okay, so I don't know that God does this, but let's say he's texting you and he says, "I want to meet you at McDonald's." Would Jesus meet us at McDonald's? I don't know. Maybe Starbucks, whatever it is. You know, I want to meet you at McDonald's. Now, let's say that you had enough reason to believe that was real. And you were preparing to go meet God at McDonald's. Wouldn't you think about what you were going to say? Wouldn't you wonder what was appropriate to talk about? Wouldn't you think about how you would address God? You don't want to be too formal. You don't want to be too casual. You know, you would think through those things because this is a big deal. Well, that's exactly why Jesus gives us the Lord's Prayer. He wants to prepare us in how we will address God and the kinds of things we for sure at least ought to include in that. Let's take a look at, there's two places the Lord's Prayer appears. One was Luke 11, but the other is in Matthew chapter 6. Turn to Matthew chapter 6, and we're going to look at the first half of the Lord's Prayer today. Jesus said in verse 9, chapter 6, "This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." How do we address God? Father. Now, to us, that's not so profound, because we understand that God is our Father. But when Jesus spoke that to his Jewish audience, it was revolutionary. The Jews of that day and even today do not address God as Father. Through most of history and in most religions even today, God is not seen in that very personal way. Jesus was inviting us to experience God as a close relative, like a father. The very term invites us into relationship, and that's what prayer is all about. Prayer is ultimately about having a conversation so that we can have a relationship. It's an incredible concept. The problem that some of us have, maybe many of us, is that when we hear that God is our Father, we have images of our human fathers that are less than ideal. Some of us have had broken and difficult relationships with our fathers. Some of us have very painful memories and even emotions associated with our fathers, our human fathers. Some of us were abused by our fathers. Some of us were neglected. There was no emotional connection. Some of us never got the approval of our fathers, and we long for that. John Eldridge wrote a couple books, one for guys called Wild at Heart, and one for the ladies called Captivating. And in those books, he identifies something that I'm addressing. He calls it the father wound. Many of us have been wounded by the lack of approval and connection with our earthly fathers. That's exactly why Jesus gives us this prayer. He not only invites us to see God as Father, but reminds us that this is a Father where? In heaven. Our Father in heaven. Our Father is not like our human fathers. Our Father in heaven will not disappoint us. He'll not be distant from us. He'll not be emotionally aloof from us. He will never cause us harm, but rather he's a father who will be cheering for us. He wants the best for us. He's connected with us. He's always available for us. He's deeply interested in every aspect of our lives. We have a father in heaven who's incredible. And then Jesus goes on to say, our Father. That's really a significant little word, our Father. Jesus didn't say, my Father. God is way more than just my Father. He is our Father. Why is that significant? Because probably you're like I am. I am so prone to being self-centered. I'm selfish. And oftentimes my prayers reflect that selfishness. God, I want this. Oftentimes our prayers are that we want an advantage even over other people. God, give me that promotion. We got a guy in here standing in the back. He's got this weird green shirt on that's an Eagles shirt. His name is Michael Achetta. His phone number is, his address is. Now, Michael's praying that his team will beat the Cardinals. Ooh. Isn't that interesting? We pray that our team will beat the other team, as if God is the father of our team and not their team.
Today he is.
We'll see who's praying more, right? That's it, yeah. Did you see the point? God loves all people. He wants the best for all people. And when we pray, Our Father, we can't see God as just my God who's going to do my thing and even harm somebody else. It just doesn't work that way. You know, there's a phrase all through the New Testament that said God does not show favoritism. He doesn't choose one person over another. You know, family systems that are dysfunctional or where a parent will favor one child over the other. It's great if you're the one favored, but it's not so great if you're the one that's not favored. Jesus tells a story, a parable called, we call it the prodigal son. His father had two sons. And one of the sons says to his father, "Give me my inheritance now." Now, when we hear that story, we think, that's pretty selfish and insensitive. But it's far more profound than that. In that day, when a son asked for his inheritance while his father was alive, it was as if he were saying, "I wish you were dead. I wish you were dead so I could have the inheritance." Now, this father gives him the inheritance, and we know the story. He goes off and he squanders it. While he's gone, I suspect there were, if we could, you know, listen into the story, we'd hear things from the older brother who stayed home, who said, "I'm the good one. Dad likes me best. I always do what Dad likes." And then the younger son comes home. What does the father do? "You're not welcome?" No. I actually like to call the parable of the waiting father. Because he's waiting for his son to come home. He is a father to the elder son who thinks he's so good. He's also a father to the wayward son. Our Father, who's in heaven, holy is your name. Hallowed be your name. In our culture, names don't really mean that much, but in Hebrew culture, Eastern culture, names describe a person's character. That's why in the Bible, when you see God or a person changing their name, that is a significant event. It means there's something about their life and their character that has changed, because names represent our character. And God's character is holy. Now again, imagine if God were to call you. And we've got this wonderful thing called caller ID. What would God's caller ID be? How about this? What's God's name? I am. He is the great I am. That is a profound name. See, God didn't say, "I am this and that." Because see, if God were to say, "I am this and that," he would never have enough words to really describe who he is, because he is so much more than our human language. He is so much more than our pea brain minds can get around. He's always greater than what we could possibly comprehend. We can't put him in a box, because he is God. He's awesome. Beyond anything we can dream of. And so his name is simply I Am, without description. And his essential character is holy. His character, his name, is not corrupted. It's not damaged. It's not broken. He's not fickle. He's not been compromised by the sin of this world. He's not for us today and against us tomorrow. He is trustworthy because he is above all of the junk and the sin of this world. We have a Father that we can have a relationship with. He's our Father. He's not like any human father. And his character is holy. That's who we are addressing when we talk to God, our Father. Now Jesus goes on in verse 10. Matthew chapter 6, verse 10. He says, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." This is the core of this model prayer, of the Lord's Prayer. This is the heart of it. I call it kingdom praying because what we're invited to do is keep a focus on what God wants, not what we want. Notice he didn't say, it's about my agenda, my will. It's not, God, I want my will to be done. I want your will to be done. I want you to lead me and guide me and direct me. I want what's important to you to be what's important to me in my daily life. Now, Jesus used the word kingdom, your kingdom come. And we don't talk about kingdoms much anymore. But he is the king of a kingdom. And in that idea, the king influences everything in the kingdom. And if we're a part of the kingdom, we're asking that God influence us. As he is good, influence us. With his truth, influence us. In other words, kingdom praying is this. I want your will, your agenda to be done in my life. God, what do you want today? Not what I want, but what do you want? That is powerful, powerful praying. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. Where? On earth. In our lives. In my world. God, I want you to be so influencing me and my world. You know, in heaven, God perfectly influences everyone there. Every person who's died and is with God, every angel is absolutely influenced by God in heaven. And may that become more and more a reality in my life. May your influence become greater and greater in my life on earth as it is in heaven. So how do we apply this? I want to encourage you to really commit to kingdom praying. Practice it daily. Wake up in the morning and say, God, what do you want from me today? And then pause long enough to sense where he's taking us. We're going to talk more about that in a couple weeks. God, what do you want? When we're facing a decision, God, what do you want me to do? When we're given an opportunity to interact with someone, God, how do you want me to speak? How do you want me to act in this situation? When we lived in Ukraine, I remember this one spring morning, and I can remember it because winters in Ukraine were gray, and this day the clouds lifted. It was still really brisk outside, but it was a clear day. And the phone rang, and I had an appointment that morning in our apartment, and somebody canceled. And I had this moment of glee. Yes, a free morning! You know, it's like, my time, I got a morning that's to myself, I can do whatever I want. And then I had this moment that I silently in prayer did what I call kingdom praying. God, how do you want me to use this morning? I wish I did that all the time. It was one of those times when I prayed that prayer. And as soon as I finished that silent prayer, a name popped into my mind. And you're going to like this name. It's the name of a Ukrainian. Pavel Samoilovich Yevtushenko. You can't miss that. Okay? Pavel is Russian for Paul. Pavel Samoilovich Yevtushenko. So I called Pavel. His wife answered. His wife's name is Yekaterina. But she didn't sound well. You know on the phone when you can tell somebody's not their normal voice, they're sick? I said, Yekaterina, are you sick? And she said, no, but we've had a terrible night. I said, what's the matter? She said, it's our son. I knew that their son had struggled, had psychological difficulties. I said, well, what happened? She said, he spent the night in the cemetery. Now, that just seems a little weird to us, you know, like a weird movie. But in that culture, that is taboo. Nobody except a crazy person would spend the night in a cemetery. So I knew it was bad. She said, we've been up all night just crying. We don't know what to do. I said, I'll be right over. Caught a taxi, got there as quick as I could. When they opened the door, they ushered me into their living room, and we immediately got on our knees and began to pray. They were alone. They didn't know what to do. It all began with praying the kingdom way. God, this is your morning. What do you want me to do? It's amazing when we pray that prayer with consistency, how we will experience God using us in some incredible ways, how he will lead us in some ways we could never dream or imagine. It is powerful praying. And may we learn to recognize God's caller ID. That's not going to show up as I am on your phone. That's not what we're talking about. But may we really learn to recognize God's character. Our Father, who wants a relationship with us, who will never disappoint us. And if we have trouble getting to that place because of our father wound, because of what our human fathers did, may I encourage you to address that as well? Again, the books that John Eldridge wrote for men, Wild at Heart, and for women, Captivating, it can be such a help to begin to work through that father wound so that we can see God as a good father, a great father. It's really important that we know who we are talking to, his real character. We're doing this series, can you hear me now, because we all want to grow in our ability to pray. I want to give you some practical things that can help you in your ability to pray. And one is using this model prayer, the Lord's Prayer. The reason why we have, that Jesus gave us the Lord's Prayer, is it provides for us kind of an outline or a reminder of how to pray. And that you can use each of the concepts in the Lord's Prayer to guide your own prayer time. You begin with recognizing God as your Father. Personal, real, good, trustworthy. And that leads us to the next part of the prayer, to pray the kingdom way. God, your will be done in my life. And next week, Pastor Tim's going to continue to take us through the Lord's Prayer as we begin to see more of the ways in which it guides us in our prayers. Another way that you can grow in your prayer life is participate in our 24/7 prayer room. It's going to start February 6th. Now, understand this right from the beginning. We're going to pray in Modular E starting February 6th for 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And my goal is not just to fill up all the one-hour slots. That's not what it's about. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to create stations in Modular E where you'll go from station to station that will guide you in prayer. And I believe that a couple things are going to happen. One is that when you get done, you're going to go, wow, that was the fastest hour of praying I've ever done. I believe that we're going to encounter God as we move through those stations. And I believe that as we do that, we're actually going to learn some new things and some new ways about praying as we actually do it. So I want you to participate, not just so we fill up all the slots, but that we can experience what it is to pray, maybe in a different way or a new way. You can sign up online, pccwired.org/prayer, and you can just sign up right there. Or our table is out in Coop Court, and you can go right up there and sign up on the list and do that. And then also, while you're out there, there's the book called Love to Pray. It's a 40-day book of devotions, one page for each day that just talks about prayer from a biblical perspective. If you're wanting to learn more about prayer, this is a great book that will help you do that. And those are available out in the courtyard as well. And then the last message of the series, I'm going to answer your questions about prayer. I've already gotten some great questions. If you've got some questions, because I can't possibly answer all of your questions in the first 4 weeks of the series, that last week, I want to answer any of your questions. So you can go online, pccwired.org/prayer, and you'll see a section there that says Pantano Discussion Forums, and you can post your question right there. I'll answer some of those online, and then some of those I'll choose to answer here in our services that last week. We come to our time of communion. And as we're talking about prayer, I'm reminded about one of the most significant prayers of Jesus. He had just had communion, the first communion with his disciples. And then he went to a garden to pray. The garden is called the Garden of Gethsemane. In that garden, at least twice we know, he prayed this agonizing prayer. He said, Father, if it's possible, notice he said, Father, if it's possible, may this cup depart. In other words, is it possible for me not to have to go through my arrest, my torture, and being crucified on a cross? If it's possible, can we avoid that? But then he said, yet, not my will, but as you will. That's kingdom praying. As he knew the soldiers were on their way to arrest him, he said, I don't want to do this, but it's not my will that matters. It's your will. That night, he again surrendered to his Father. He was willing to be a sacrifice for you and I. In a moment, the servers are going to pass the communion tray and take the cup and the piece of bread, pass the tray on and hold it. And as you hold the cup of juice and the piece of bread, they are reminding us that Jesus shed his blood for us, that his body was broken for us. He was willing to surrender his will to his Father. And it's a time just to remember and celebrate that Jesus surrendered and sacrificed. But also in that time, it's really a good time to also do that ourselves. To say to our Father, as we hold the cup and the piece of bread, not my will, not what I want, but I want what you want in my life. I recommit to you. I surrender to you. After that, we're going to pass our offering. Never see giving as an obligation. Think of it as a happy Father's Day gift. Father, you have been so good. I love you. And this is just an expression of my love to you. It's a gift to our Heavenly Father. Let's pray. Father, we are so grateful that we have a relationship with you. We are so grateful that you are not like our human fathers. You are so much more. We are so amazed that you invite us into that kind of a relationship. And God, it's our desire that we would know you as our Father in heaven. And God, we want, because we trust you and we believe in you, we want you to lead our lives. We want your will to be done in our lives. We want you to influence us in our hearts and in our actions, in our decisions, in our words, in our relationships. God, we want others to see you in us. That is our desire. In Jesus' name. Amen.